This is a Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs has been in practice for 43 years as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour, the best advice on the radio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word, playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now, here's your host, rated as one of the best therapists in Kansas City by OnlineTherapy.com, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Welcome to our show here at Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as we talk about the mental side of sports. And our shows are podcasted everywhere on all the major apps, including my website, winnersunlimited.com. And if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm in my 43rd year of work as a sports psychologist, one of the first trained sports psychologists in the country. And my 33rd year on the radio, the last 23 here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Look forward to doing this show with you every Sunday because we get into mindsets and attitudes and sportsmanship and all kinds of things related to the mental side of sports. And we take your calls and get into discussions. You know, the whole emphasis of what we do on this show is to bring up topics that aren't usually talked about maybe during the week when it comes to sportsmanship, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to the mental side of sports. And when you look at the world of sports, there are so many different things that go on. Of course, we just had the NFL draft complete yesterday. The NBA and NHL playoffs are going on. Major League Baseball is in full swing. Major League Soccer, the NWSL are going. By the way, Kansas City Current are undefeated this year, 5-0-1, playing great, first place. Although it's a long season, so a lot of things can happen. But as of right now, they're doing great. And, you know, the Royals have gone off to a great start, playing great baseball. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on here in Kansas City. The University of Kansas just got four big-time transfers. And big announcement Friday that Hunter Dickinson's coming back. So they'll probably be number one in the preseason polls. Of course, that doesn't mean anything because you never know what's going to happen. But lots of exciting things going on. The Kansas City Comets are in the finals of their league championship. I was the Comets' first sports psychologist back in the 80s when they were the Kansas City Comets playing down at Kemper Arena. Remember those hot winter nights? That was a lot of fun back then. Gino Ciraldi, Enzo Depede, Alan Mayer. Alan Mayer, first guest of my very first radio show. And one of the best people I ever know, one of the best goalkeepers ever to play soccer. Anyway, a lot of fun stuff's going on. And in my discussions with people throughout the week, working with people, talking with people, there's something that still bothers me a lot. And it's abusive coaching. And I hear it way too often. And it's something I want to get into today and hopefully get some calls in here and discuss it with you if you're a coach, if you're a player, whatever. But I went to physical therapy the other day, and the therapist was talking to me about her son's lacrosse coach. And this coach uses vulgarities like they're like out of style. I mean, all he does is just use them all the time. Curses the kids out, MFs them, calls them names, and this is high school lacrosse. And he thinks it motivates him. I don't see how using that language when you're talking to kids motivates them. Unless that's all they've ever heard their whole life, then, of course, it numbs them. They don't even listen to it. But if you're a teacher, you know, let's use this example. If you're a coach and your player misses a shot, do you MF them for that? Take them off the field, throw them on the bench, call them names because they missed the shot? Well, it happens. So if you're a teacher and you hand back a test and someone gets 19 out of 20, Do you pull them up to the front of the classroom and MF them there? You're stupid. You missed a question. What's MF wrong with you? No. Well, there might be somebody that does that, but I doubt it. What I'd like to know the benefit of using vulgarities with kids. And this doesn't happen just at the high school level. This goes down to youth sports. You know, if you've listened to this show, you know, I've been here forever. I've talked about this all the time. It still goes on. Why would you possibly talk to kids that way? I'd love to get some answers from callers. I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach and you've heard coaches use that language. I'd love to hear from you if you're a parent and you've had the coach of one of your kids use vulgarities to talk to them about the way they're playing. Our phone number, and I'll open up the phone lines early, 913-3810-810 is the number. You know, I hear from a lot of people, oh, come on, Doc, that's life. You got to deal with it. You got to learn to handle that. When you're 10, when you're 12, when you miss a shot in a high school game, what's the motivation to talk to kids with vulgarities in sports? You know, if you're misbehaving and you're acting out, if you're a coach, you got upset at them, that's fine, but do you use that language to talk to them? You know, the days of Woody Hayes are not here anymore. Well, they shouldn't be, but obviously they still are. So I'd love to hear from you. If you're an athlete and you've had coaches or a coach cuss you out, degrade you, insult you, cut you down, how does that make you feel when you screw up and miss a shot or make a mistake? Or they take you on the bench and glare at you because you did something wrong? Well, obviously you did it on purpose just to piss them off. Obviously you did it on purpose just to irritate them. And this isn't just male coaches. This is female coaches too. There's a prominent basketball coach here in town. Actually, it doesn't coach too far away from the studio, who is known to use that type of language quite a bit. I'm just trying to understand the benefit of using vulgarities talking to kids who are coaching, when you're coaching them. Our phone number is 913-3810-810. Maybe it motivates you. Maybe you're an athlete and it's like, oh, that just gets me ticked off and it turns me on. Really? That's what it takes? So I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach. I'd love to hear from you. What's the best way to motivate kids when they've screwed up? If you're a parent, and I know there are a lot of parents listening to this show because I get feedback throughout the week, I'd love to get your thoughts. If your son or daughter plays sports, and I don't care if it's youth sports, high school sports, whatever, and they have a coach who just uses vulgar language to insult them when they screw up, what do you do as a parent? Our phone number is 913-3810-810. If you're a parent, what do you do? Just go, oh, that's coaching. It's got to toughen them up. Do you say something? Do you go to the athletic director? Do you go to the administration? I'd like to hear from you and see what your thoughts are on that. And you're an athlete, you've played sports yourself, and you have a coach who uses vulgarities when you screw up and directs them at you, how does that make you feel? How do you react to that? How do you respond to that? What does that do for you? Once again, 913-3810-810 is our number. It's early in the show. Open up the phone lines. I'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts. Because you know what? I just don't see the benefit of that. Now, if somebody's misbehaving and screwing up and you want to get upset at them, you can get upset at them and not talk like that. And a lot of people say, oh, come on, Doc, you got to toughen up here. That's how people talk. Well, if you're an 8-year-old and you strike out and the coach slams his helmet down, kicks the fence, and calls you an MF, loser when you walk to the dugout and you're eight? Because this happens. And you're the parent. What, you know, what do you do? You're in a real bind there because you have trouble with that. Are you going to walk down and take your son or daughter off the field? You going to wait till the game's over and go say something to the coach? You going to go get in an argument with the coach? Or do you just sit in your hands and not do anything? See, all this has a big impact on two words, self-confidence. What is self-confidence? The ability to believe in yourself, your skills, your abilities, and what you can do. And I've, in my 43 years of work, I've been dealing with this my whole career. This goes back, my first job, my first sports psychology job was at the University of Kansas with the cross country and track teams. And there was a runner on the cross country team who loved Bob Timmons and Steve Kiefer, the coaches there. Because this young man told me, said Dr. Jacobs, when I started working with him, for the first time in my life, I have coaches who treat me properly. This kid was very talented and skilled. But his high school coach just degraded him, cut him down all the time. If it wasn't for his parents and his strong faith beliefs, he probably wouldn't have gotten through it. And when he got to college, started running, and then he started working with me, he realized that's not how you coach. I don't know what happened to him after he graduated, but he told me, he said, Doc, I'm gonna coach. I know I'm going to coach because I don't want kids to feel like that the way I did. All right, our phone number is 913-3810-810. I'd love to hear from you. If you are a coach, what kind of language do you use with the kids you coach? Do you use vulgarities? And what do you do when the coach on another team is using vulgar language? How do you react to that? What do you say to the kids you're working with? If you are a parent and the coach of your son or daughter's team uses vulgar language, how do you react to that? Do you think, oh, it's okay, that's what coaches do? Do you pull your kid off the team? Do you report the coach? Do you confront the coach? What do you do? And if you're an athlete and you've screwed up in a game and the coach cusses you out, what's that do for you? I don't see the psychological benefit of that. Maybe you disagree with me. If you do, I'd love to hear from you. 913-3810-810 is our number. Okay, my producer, Tristan, jump in here. What are your thoughts on this? Because you played sports. I'm sure at some point, somewhere along the way, you had a coach cuss you out for something.
Yeah, it just...
I mean, you're a nice guy. you do a good job. But, you know, come on, share it with me.
Yeah, I would say when that happened, my mindset immediately went to self-deprecating and, oh, I'm less than, oh... Clearly, it wasn't the strikeouts. What was it about me that caused that reaction? And you start overanalyzing you as a whole instead of just you at that at-bat, or you at the top of the box when you took that shot that went wide, or you when you missed the kick. Or there's something that's deeper there as an athlete looking at it holistically. There's no way it's just me failing in that instance that's causing this reaction. What else about me? When in reality, it's probably more so what else about the coach?
Well, I'm going to share a story. Gosh, how many years ago? This is probably 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago. I had a young man I was working with who was a high school basketball player. He was a junior, point guard, playing at one of the local high schools. Great kid, great family. He's working with me on a variety of things. Comes in one day and says, I've got to talk to you about something that happened yesterday. At practice, they're running some drills, and they had a specific drill where he had to pass the ball to one of his teammates cutting, you know, on a cutting play. He passed the ball, but the teammate cut the wrong way. The ball went out of bounds. It's just practice. So they huddle up. He gets drilled in the back of his head with the basketball by the assistant coach. Knocks him down. who comes over and just MFs him for being so stupid. This young man, to his credit, got up and said, "What did you say to me?" And the coach said it, and he just walked off. Walked off the court, called his parents, left school. His dad came up to the school, confronted the coach at his classroom, went to the classroom. They got in an argument in the hallway. The dad, to his credit, left without getting into it, going any farther. Reported the coach to the head coach and the athletic director. This young man left the school, transferred to a school in Missouri where he could play because they actually owned a home over there. This coach is still coaching. To this day, he's still coaching. That was about 12 years ago. Okay. In my opinion, that man should have been fired on the spot. The demand should have been for him to get help. Why would you do that? Why would you throw a ball at a player's head, knock him over, and cuss him out for making a bad pass? Well, actually, the pass was the right pass. Okay. But see, this behavior goes on because of one thing: the desire and need to win. The desire and need to have to come in first to beat everybody. At the youth and high school, I know high school sports winning is important. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not stupid. I get it. But isn't it about the effort and the intensity and the how you play? So you had to deal with this. So what'd you do?
I looked internally and I just moved on with the day. I did not play well the rest of that game or the other games where it happened, and it stifled my confidence, and it didn't go anywhere from there. It was quiet enough to where it was just to the people in the dugout, and the parents never knew, and nothing else ever came of it.
The parents never knew because?
We didn't say anything.
Why not?
Because it's just the way the world is.
Does that make it right?
Not at all.
All right, I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My topic today is coaching abuse. And I'd love to hear from you if you're a parent. No one's called in yet. We just got started on this discussion, top of the hour here. It's what the show's about today. If you are a coach, how important is language, the language you use with the coaches, with the athletes you coach? 913-3810-810 is our number. How important is the language you use? If you are a parent and you have a son or daughter playing sports, and they have a coach who uses vulgarities in terms of the way they treat them, how do you feel about that? And if you're an athlete, you have a coach talking to you like that, tell me what that does for you. What is the benefit of being cussed out, insulted, degraded? 913-3810-810 is our number. Give me a call and let's talk. We're on Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. I'm here every Sunday morning talking about the mental side of sports, and I brought up the topic today of coaching abuse, specifically coaching language. And I'd love to hear from you. No one's called in yet. I'd love to hear and get your thoughts on this, because I get these stories all the time from clients and from people who talk to me about a coach who verbally went off the rails, cussing out kids, insulting them when they make mistakes. And this past week, I go to physical therapy for my shoulder, and the physical therapist told me about her son's lacrosse coach who just MFs the kids. It's a high school coach. Just uses that language nonstop. And, you know, I'm guessing at this point, the kids on that team are probably numb to it. They probably don't even absorb it anymore. But it's like, why would you put up with that? And this individual told me, she goes, we've talked to this, the assistant coach talks like this. We've talked to the head coach, but he still does it because he understands the sport. Okay. Our phone number is 913-3810-810. If you're a coach, and I don't care what level you coach at, what is the best way to motivate the athletes you work with? You know, language is so important. And in the book I co-wrote with Jeff Montgomery and Pete Malone, we talk a lot about language and how you listen and communicate. You know, I always say a good coach is a good communicator. A great coach is a good listener. Because I think great coaches take the time to understand why the athletes they're coaching are playing the sport. Why are they there? What do they want to accomplish? They'll try to get to understand those athletes and figure them out. And if you have an athlete who's underperforming, who's not playing well, who's screwing up, how do you motivate them? What's the best way to light the fire under somebody? You know, coaches like to see their athletes succeed, see their team succeed. And in order to do that, it's how you talk to them, how you know, coaching is talking, it's communicating, it's educating. And it blows my mind when I hear these stories about these coaches who think using profanity to motivate kids is going to help them get better. So Tristan, if you were, you're not a parent, obviously, as far as I know, okay? As far as you know, too.
Far as I know, no parenthood.
Okay. So you have a child signing up for a sport team, say in junior high, middle school, and they come home and start talking about how the coach talks to them. The coach is degrading, uses, you know, profanity. What would you do? I know you're not a parent yet. You're still not even married. Okay, but what would you do?
Yeah, step one would be speak with the coach. Find a way to have a meeting with the coach, either before practice, after practice, during the school day, something to say, hey, what's your motivation here? And also, that's not how my child gets better. That's not how my kid will learn. They will learn in XYZ, explain how to motivate my specific kid and say, so be it. If you so choose to go this route that is crude and crass and inappropriate and unhelpful, but if it continues directly at my kid, we're gone. See you later.
Do you go to the administration and say something?
If it doesn't improve, absolutely.
Why not start with the coach and the athletic director?
I think that the coach is in the role for a reason. Somebody trusts them somewhere, and at times there have been situations where someone will, and this goes through any level of sport, I don't have a specific example of it, but if you go straight to the boss of the coach, then the boss will likely go, yeah, but like we play golf on Sundays, or yeah, but I don't really want to ruin this friendship. I'd rather just lose this player. And so that intrinsic value to the ownership or whoever may disable any opportunity to remove the coach or have that conversation with the coach.
Years ago, I was asked to come in on a case where there was a college football player who had died from second impact syndrome, which is basically getting a second concussion, essentially. And when he collapsed on the field with the second impact, passed out, the running back coach, this is at a college program, running back coach was, and this kid's foaming at the mouth, passed out. The coach is over him, just nonstop using profanity, telling him to get up. He had to be pulled away by a couple other players, push the coach down, and just yell for the trainer to come out. Something's wrong. Young man ends up in the hospital, ended up dying. They drilled a hole in his brain to relieve the pressure, ended up dying. Coach never even showed up to see how I was doing. All right. I think when you coach, you want to find methods to motivate. I mean, good coaches are good motivators. Great coaches, like as I said, are good listeners. They're going to understand when a player is on their team, Why are they here? It may be 7-year-old T-ball or soccer or swimming. Why are you here? What, you know, talk with the parent. What are the goals? What do you want to accomplish? What's it take to motivate your child? What do they need? Are they self-motivated? Do they need to be pushed? Do they need to be challenged? Need to be prodded a little bit? Do they need to be handled carefully? Good coaches, great coaches, are good psychologists. They may not have a degree in it, but they take the time to understand the rationale for what's going to motivate that child. And no one's called up. I'd love to hear from someone about what we're talking about today. Is if your son or daughter's coach uses profanity to motivate them, to coach them, does that work? And what do you do if you're a parent and you're talking to your son or daughter that way? 913-3810-810 is our number. You know, I've had Mitch Lyons on this show before. He has a program called End Abusive Coaching back in Boston. He's been on the show a couple times. We talked about it. He's a huge advocate for talking to kids properly. And I think when somebody, to be honest with you, when you have a coach that talks to kids like this, I think they've got some issues. It's why do you have to talk to kids like that? You know, if you're at your golf game with your friends and you're an adult and you're playing golf and you guys joke around that way, that's one thing. But when you're sitting there trying to motivate a 10-year-old to hit a baseball, or a 12-year-old young girl playing soccer who shoots the ball and kicks it over the goal, do you flip out? You know, your behavior as a coach plays such a huge role in what goes on here. So if you have, and like I said, if you've personally had a coach who treated you poorly, who maybe was so rude to you, you ended up quitting, I'd love to hear from you on that as well. 913-3810-810 is our number. I'm just shocked when I keep hearing that there are people out there who think this is how you motivate young people. Like I've said, I use the comparison, if a teacher in the classroom has some kids that miss some questions, do they cuss them out on that? They insult them? You know, but we see this behavior a lot. We see it when, and look, coaches are people. They've got feelings. I get it. They get upset. But what's the benefit of that? I still, to my point, I don't know. So if you have coached, what about if you're coaching and you treat your kids the right way, but the coach on the other side, male or female, doesn't matter who they are, talks poorly to their kids? What do you say to the kids on your team? Because they're hearing that stuff too. And this comes back, like I said, this all comes back to self-confidence. Self-confidence, the ability to believe in yourself, starts from the goals you set, how you learn about success and failure, winning and losing, and how you take it from there. I mean, coaches are people. They have the right to express themselves, but I think you have to look at coaches' language. So, Tristan, did you ever hear other coaches when you were playing talk that way?
Not when I was playing, but when I was coaching, absolutely. And the way that I handled that was I spoke to the kids that I was coaching. They were 10-year-olds, and I said, look, focus on what we are important, like what makes us important, what our values are as a team. Focus on the sportsmanship first, focus on the teamwork on the field second, and focus on the success third. There's no reason to pay attention to the negativity and to the hate that we're hearing on the other sideline. Focus on what we are doing well and how we can improve. And if you have the opportunity to, build up the other team. When you make a good tackle or when they make a good tackle, say, hey, that was a great tackle. Good shot. Hey, nice shot, other team. Build them up because they're not getting it on their sideline.
You know, we see examples of sportsmanship a lot, especially in Little League Baseball. We've seen a lot of examples where, I can't remember exactly what it was a year or two ago, a young man got hit by a pitcher, knocked down, and then that pitcher went over to, when the young man went to first base, went over and hugged him. You know, a lot of people say, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. Well, no, it's not. That's showing that young man who was the pitcher cared. You know, he didn't intentionally try to knock the kid down, and it obviously bothered him, so he went over there. But this is where, to me, I think, as a coach, you're guiding the people you're working with on these issues. And when you see a coach on another team using vulgarities, degrading kids, I think it's important for you to take your team off after the game and talk with them about what went on, about why you don't agree with that. Because sometimes, I know a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. They want to walk away from it. You know, they're scared to confront the issue and deal with it. And I get it. It's not something that's comfortable, especially when you have a coach who gets real hostile and vulgar. A lot of people don't want to say anything because they're afraid they're going to jump on them. So 913-3810-810 is our number, and we've got Gerst on the phone. Gerst, good morning. How are you doing? Are you there? Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, up early, was listening to the radio, and kind of heard Tristan talk about the profanity and, you know, things about the coach being in, you know, real close with the administrators and whether run off a kid. I've seen that, too, quite a bit. At the high school level, and a little bit at the college level, too. I've coached college athletics before, 15 years here in the Metro, and now I'm in administration. So when I encounter situations like that, I always tell my coaches, I'm like, hey, these are people's kids. And sooner or later, your kid may be on this team or on another team. Would you like them to be talked that way? And it's like, it's not about motivation, it's about teaching them life lessons of how teamwork works together to accomplish a common goal. And myself as a coach, I've had to check myself at times too. I think that's probably one of the reasons I got away from coaching. I still coach my son's team in youth sports, but there's times where I'm like, am I on the line or am I crossing the line?
What's the difference?
I think I was kind of, when I was listening, I was thinking about this past football season, coaching my son's team. We had a player who's really good, and he knows he's good.
Excuse me, how old?
11.
Okay.
11, 12 years old, and he knows he's real good. But in this particular game, he wasn't really performing. And, you know, we're on the sideline, and, you know, talked to him. I said, you know you're the best player here, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, you need to start acting like that. I need you to be the biggest, baddest. And then I said something out here because our team's going to respond to your attitude. And so we ended up winning the game, but I always reflect after a game. I'm like, I always reflect, how did I handle this? How did I handle that? And at that point, when I reflected on that situation, I was like, I probably could have used a better word than to use that, you know. That next week in practice, I said, hey, let's talk about what happened on the sideline. If I disrespected you saying that word, I apologize. And he was
like, did you say that to your son or to the whole team?
I said that to the player I talked to. I pushed him off to the side and me and him talked. So it wasn't my son. It wasn't my son. And so I think, you know, going off that question, if someone would have told my son that, I would have asked him, like, how did you feel when that coach told you that? And then kind of see how they would have responded. But there was, I had to have a talk with that player again, but I didn't use that word again.
So how did you decide that that was wrong? What made you decide that?
I think because these are still young people. They're still kids. I don't even know if he comes in contact with that word often in his life, whether he's in school or at home or whatever. And I guess to me, I was just like, man, these are still little kids. I shouldn't be, I shouldn't be using that. When I was coaching in college, I did use those words because I think it's a little different. And so, again, I think in the heat of the moment, a coach can be wound up into so much to motivate kids, student athletes, that they kind of get the emotions get too high. That's why
I always say a great coach checks his or her ego at the door. It's not about the coach, It's about the people they're coaching.
Yeah. So, but yeah, every coach needs to realize these are people's kids. These are people's brothers or sons. And even on the girl side too, like we just got to treat these kids with respect. Because if we do, we earn their respect. And that's, I think we're playing for a coach because you respect the coach. It's one of the ultimate motivators.
Well, this all comes back to what I was talking about earlier about communication and about listening and understanding. And I think, I mean, you said it. I said coaches are people. They screw up. I mean, that happens. It's the way it is. But I think the key thing here is with what you did something that you regretted. So you brought that athlete over and talked to him and apologized, which says more about you as a person than you as a coach, I think.
Well, appreciate that.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, we all make mistakes. God knows I've made them. I mean, you make a mistake, you apologize, and you move on. But if you don't, those kids are going to get hurt. And in the end, it's going to affect their demeanor, their self-esteem, their confidence across the board. All right, well, listen, thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us. I appreciate it, and continue. Good luck coaching. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right.
That frees up our lines here at 913-3810-810. Great call. And I'd love to hear from you. If you're a coach, what kind of language do you use to coach your athletes? And if you are a coach and there are other athletes, or excuse me, other coaches that you're coaching against who use improper language and scream and yell at their athletes because they make a mistake, what do you say to the players on your team about how to handle that? 913-3810-810 is the number. And I'd love to hear from a parent who has had a coach treat their child inappropriately with the language they use. If that's the case, what do you do? Do you say something? Do you not say something? Do you address it? Do you ignore it? 913-3810-810 is the number. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. As I've mentioned before, our shows are all podcasted everywhere on all the major podcast apps, as well as on my website, which is winnersunlimited.com. You know, I try to bring up topics on this show each week that I think will resonate with you as listeners. I know it's early here on Sunday morning when we do the show, but a lot of people will email me and send me notes about things they listen to the podcast all over the place. And, you know, this topic today is one that affects all of us at some point. I know throughout my career working with so many people, I've had so many clients come in and have had issues with coaches who just get verbally abusive. Yet, a lot of times here's the big thing. Coaches are people. They screw up. They make mistakes. We all do. Okay, but I think great coaches, when they do, will take the responsibility, like the young man who called up, say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that to you. That was inappropriate on my part. You know, we got plenty of time left to get some calls in here. 913-3810-810 is the number. If you have had a coach who was abusive, verbally abusive with you before, tell me how you react, what you did, how you moved on. You know, I've used this example before. Several years ago, the Packers and the Seahawks were in a playoff game in Seattle. Seattle was down. They did an onside kick. One of Green Bay's there's a third-string tight end. The ball took a weird bounce, hit his helmet, and Seattle recovered. He went to the sideline. Green Bay's special teams coach ripped off his headset, went over to this guy, was screaming in his face. The guy had his helmet in his hands, obviously dejected. This guy's screaming at him. The coach had to be pulled away by other players. There's still like 5 minutes left in the game. This guy was going to be back out there again. So what's going through his mind when he's back out there again? Boy, I better not screw up. I'm going to get yelled at. That coach was fired after the loss. You know, how you communicate is maybe the most important aspect of coaching, I think. I've worked with so many teams over my career in a multitude of sports across the board. And I've had so many coaches who are great communicators. Rick Benben coached Kansas City Comets back in the early 1980s. I worked with Rick when he was there. Then he went on to coach at UMKC, their men's soccer team, for years. Rick and I talked all the time, still a good friend of mine. But he would take the time with athletes, if something was going on, to bring them in his office and talk with them. And he would ask athletes, you know, and I know when I work with the Comets with him, one of the things he asked me to do, bring guys into my office. I brought guys up to his office. We were at the Soccer Dome up in North Kansas City. There are about 25 stairs going up to that office. We take guys up there and talk about stuff. When I worked with the Royals in 1990, John Wathan was the manager. Great guy. And John, same thing. He said, Andy, one of the things I'd like you to do is if guys don't like the way I'm talking to them, bring them into my office. I did that with a bunch of players, very prominent ones, who wouldn't want to talk to him. They're like, I don't like the way he's talking to me. Well, you got to talk to him. No, you don't do that. Yes, you do. I remember two specific, very prominent Royals players from that year who I took into his office, and the three of us sat down and talked together and cleared the air. And there weren't vulgarities used in that. It was just the way they thought they were being treated. But that's all about communication. And so what I'm trying to get at here today is the way you communicate as a coach plays such a huge role with the young people you're working with. And oftentimes, you know, it can be so beneficial and so helpful, but a lot of the time it becomes something that sticks with them forever. So I think what our caller mentioned, you know, he did something he regretted. He talked to that young man afterwards and, you know, explained, you know, why he was wrong. And I think humility as a coach, being humble, having that humility to admit when you have screwed up, makes such a huge impact. I had a college basketball player, a female basketball player, star of her team, but she started missing some three-pointers, which was her specialty. So her coach had her start working with me. And it was very interesting because as she started missing more and more three-pointers, she went back to her high school coach who would cuss her out whenever she missed a three-pointer. But she had very strong teammates, very strong parents. And I said, this is just how, as a woman who coached, this is how she coaches. You just have to work through it. So she did. But here she is in college, and she started missing again. And that memory came back, and it stressed her out. Fortunately, her college coach wasn't like that at all. Her college coach was awesome. And said, Dr. Jacobs, what can I do? So the three of us had a meeting, and this young girl broke down. She was a freshman. She broke down, sobbing, about how the memory of her high school coach cussing her out all the time came back. And her coach got up, came over, and gave her a hug and said, listen, I don't care if you make her miss the shot about you as a person. Yeah, I care if you make her miss the shot as a coach. As long as you're trying, I don't care. That's all I want from you. And this young girl relaxed after that, and started playing better. Because that fear that was stuck in her head from her high school coach had stuck with her. Even though she was on a full ride scholarship at a Big 12 school. So it comes back to, like I said, how you communicate, the way you communicate as a coach, and language is so powerful. And I also think, you know, this is where I talk all the time about assertiveness on this show, standing up for yourself, expressing yourself. If you have a problem with a coach and you're an athlete, you're in high school or even younger, talk with your parents about it. Talk with them about what's the best way to handle this. And if you're a parent, I think what you should do, first, if it's a high school athlete, I think that athlete should be strong enough to sit down with the coach and talk to the coach about it. If the coach doesn't change, then that's where the parents get involved. First step is the athlete takes responsibility, on their own. And if that doesn't work, then you as a parent need to get involved. And then I think you meet with the coach, and then with the athletic director. If you don't, and that continues, it's just going to get worse. And the long-term effects will be there. You know, I've been on the radio for 33 years. I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people call these shows. And so many of them talk about things that happened to them when they were younger, how that affected them and affected them as they moved on in their sports, positively or negatively. And that's why I come back to the whole issue of language. How you communicate, how you speak, how you listen. Good coaches listen. Listen to their athletes. They find out, why are you here? What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? But where do you want to go with things? Hope you enjoy the show. You know, I'm here every week from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Our shows are podcasted everywhere. All the major apps. Go to my website, winnersunlimited.com. If you have any comments or questions, love to hear from you. You can get a hold of me at my office, which is 816-561-5556. My email is drj@winnersunlimited.com. You know, if you've got a topic you'd like me to bring up on this show, I'd love to hear from you. I'd be glad to talk about it. Love conversations with everybody who listens, feedback, whatever you'd like to for me to share and talk about on this show, because this show is about you. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB.